I wasn't around then in case somebody's wondering, but I did get the tremendous privilege, and I do have the privilege, of being a Methodist Home Chaplain, of listening to people's life stories. So yes, the nation said it was a shared memory of celebration, but I got to listen to people who were around, who were there. And they talk about 80 years of peace in Europe, except these people were telling me different stories. There was the lady who talked about when the incendiary bombs came down in her community, one after the other. Imagine the door knockers of the street knocking in sequence, one after the other after the other, because of the way the bombs and the vibrations, except the vibrations shattered the window in her house. And as a girl, it put scars on her legs she still has today. So when the thunder and lightning comes along, she identifies it with the bombing. So even now, more than 80 years, albeit she's 21, but more than 80 years on, she still has that sense of apprehension. There's another man who was instrumental in radar and during the war and installing it in various bases. And he spent his career in the RAF, and to get peace and quiet afterwards, he kept bees, which when he talks about it is way more fascinating than I am. But he found serenity for his soul there. And again, there's another individual who during World War II was one of the SAS people, proper regiment. And so eventually when he retired, he went on 27 cruises with his wife. But here's the thing, you can go all the way to Australia. I mean, I did that, and it was so last month. I mean, you know, I don't know who's doing it right now, but you know, I was in Brisbane last month, in case anybody checks. But you can go to Australia, and our thoughts and prayers are with Reverend Tracy, but you can still take your troubles with you. You can go on 27 cruises, and your worries will still be in your suitcase, along with other stowaways who will eat at you and get at you. And there is no peace of mind in the soul. The Bible says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If there was some gateway to block all of the bad influences, if there was some doorway that could get locked to my mind, because it says, carefully guard your thoughts, because they are the source of true life. And what you think on, what you dwell on, what you let influence your life directs who you are. You become what you let influence your life. Now the Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. But in a sense, when people are searching for their identity, they listen to so many influences. But do they have integrity? Can they be trusted? And are they in it for themselves, or are they in it for making your life better? Now, when you go on holiday, sometimes people take selfies, images, pictures. This is who I am, folks. And Jesus in the Bible gives us at least seven selfies, seven personal portraits. It's not what somebody else says, but this is what he says about himself. And I discovered when you dig down to these images, what you get is a sense of his identity. But it's not just his identity, it's my identity in him, because they come with practices. When I fulfill these practices, they come with promises. I'll give you a simple example. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of the light. What's the portrait? What's the image? What's the identity? I am the light of the world. What's the practice? Follow me. What's the promise? You will have the light of life. You will never walk in darkness. He says, and our thoughts and prayers are with Marion's family. You may well hear this week. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. What's the portrait? What's the selfie? I am the resurrection and the life. What's the practice? He who lives and believes in me. What's the promise? They shall never die, but they shall have eternal life. I'm not going to go through all seven. That's your homework for today. Look them up in John's Gospel and see if you can identify who is Jesus saying about himself and what he's saying about you that you can live life. Well, he comes along and he says, I am the door. I am the gate. What is the practice? He says, listen to me and you will know life. Listen to me and people will not steal your joy. Listen to me and they will not kill your spirit. Listen to me and they will not rob you of life. But listen to me and you will find salvation. Listen to me and you will find abundant life. If you follow me, if you identify with me and put me as the key influence in your life, you will know fullness of life, fulfilled life, integrity in your soul. Because there are only some people who are full of themselves and they want you to help them out. And Jesus says there are thieves and robbers in this world. There are people who will make your life bitter. Things will eat at you. They will go out to hurt you. And it's all about themselves. But who is this Jesus that I should not just hear him, but heed him? Make him the key influence in my life. Well, he says, I assuredly assure you, I most solemnly say to you, I am the door for the sheep leading to his life. And that word I am has a perfume of divinity. It was referenced earlier when Moses is at the burning bush. It's a bush that's on fire, but it's not burning, or it's burning, it's not on fire. Either way, it grabs his attention in the wilderness, and he hears God, and they have a conversation, and God calls him to speak to Pharaoh about the people's freedom. And Moses goes, well, I am not adequate, I am not brave, I am not bold. God doesn't go, well, I heard that list. Let me help you out here. God simply says, I am. Not I was, not I will be, not I will make you. But as I come to God and I go, like Moses said, I'm not respected. God says, go. I've called you to speak to your neighbors. I've called you to have a conversation with your work colleagues. I've called you to share the faith. And when you do that, you will find boldness. You will find bravery. You will find talent. Because when you identify with me and my calling upon your life, I am. And he will make you. So Jesus takes these two words that speak of divinity, of God, of who the Father is, and says, if you want to know who the Father is, I will reveal him to you. And he comes along, and in one of these personal portraits, he says, I am the door, I am the gate. So what's he saying? He says, I am your security. So let's put this in the context, because there were two kinds of sheepfold in Jesus' day. I'm not an expert on these things, but there was the village sheepfold. All the flocks came in from everywhere. They got all mixed up at night, all locked in one safe, secure place. The wild animals couldn't get to them. They were guarded, so any thieves couldn't get to them. No one could kill, destroy, or steal. There was a big door. One person had the key, locked, job done. That was it, protected. Except when they went on the hills in the warm weather. Oh, yeah, we've had some of that recently. When they went on the hills, there were just these sort of enclosures, brick wooden enclosures, but there was no gate. When the sheep were hemmed in these enclosures, the literal gate was the shepherd who would lay across the doorway to protect the sheep from those who would harm them. Whether it's wild animals or thieves or robbers, and it would stop the sheep going out. So literally, the shepherd's body was the door, was the gate. And again, in a Jewish mindset, it was that sense that the sheep could go in and come out and feel safe and secure. And if I look at life through the lens of Jesus, I can have a sense of security. These glasses, the first glasses I've ever had, that have this tint on them. So when I drive in the sunshine, and they've been really great recently, they go dark. I look like I work for the mafia, you know. And you don't often realize sometimes you're walking down a hospital corridor and the lights hit your glasses and they go, oh, no, it's, oh, that's only me. But if he was the filter for life, so that all the hurtful comments that people say, they wouldn't get to you because you know that you are loved. All the angry things that people say, they wouldn't make you feel bad because you know that you are special in Christ. All those things that would otherwise eat at you and get at you, I'm not worried about them because I identify with Jesus and he speaks into my life. He speaks to my soul. He tells me who I am. You don't have any authority there because my security is in him. The Bible says the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. When I have that sense of my security and my identity in him, I'm at peace in my soul. So I can stay here or go to Australia or go to Pathwelly or wherever it is some of you are going and still be at peace. But he says there are some people who are not out for your goodness. They lack integrity. Oh, they want your influence. But he said, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers. And it wasn't just the false prophets of the past, or as we might call them today, the people who spread fake news and lies. It was the people of the present, because he says, they are. They set themselves up as messiahs, as saviors, as the people with all the answers. They know what to do. They know what the problems are, just as long as they can get your vote, as it were. But they're empty. If they are the moral compass of society, where are they leading you? If they are the influence, where are they taking you? Because some of the big struggles are with identity and with people and with problems. But then I realized actually the reason why they said in my NHS appraisal that I had this sense of assurance. I had this sense of resilience. There was something about me that just kept going through all the I had what called a calm sense of compassion. So you go into the wards and they can be very traumatic, and I get that, and people are going through really, really tough times, whether they have physical injuries or mental struggles. But I realized that calm sense of compassion, that resilience, came from my faith that was handed to me from my parents. So I had this security that I knew that whatever the day would bring, I could identify with Jesus because I had seen it in the lives of my parents and my family and the people around me. So there was a faith. And when people can see that, the problem is people struggle with things. And then you get people going, well, who's my key influence in my life? And they get social media out and they go the wrong way. On Saturday, I think I was reading in the newspaper about teachers giving up teaching because they're having chairs and other things thrown at them because, oh, well, you're a woman and therefore you don't count and I'm not going to listen to you. By the way, I've got to be very careful of that given the makeup of this congregation this morning. But that was in the newspaper. I am going to listen to you, all right, but what I want you to do is to listen to Jesus. And he came along and he said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. So not only is Jesus our security, in that sense he's our protection, but he's our salvation. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And if you think about that image that he was talking to them about a sheepfold where the shepherd literally was the gate, was the door to keep the sheep in and protect from wild animals and those who would destroy and steal and kill. And when he comes along, he does something different. He says, for the Son of Man does not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And when I begin to identify with Jesus, I not only see him as the servant king and the king who serves, he does things like feed the hungry. He speaks to the isolated and lonely. He touches the leper. He reaches out to people who are troubled in mind, and they find peace in the midst of their demonic struggles. And you begin to see this king who serves, who gets a towel and washes feet. But he does something else. The king goes to the cross and pays the price for my sin so that I might know life here and now. Not just simply life in the hereafter, but life here and now. No one else does that but this King Jesus, who says, I've identified with you and I love you so much that I will be your Savior. I will be your salvation. Not just in the next life, but in this life, so that you can know fullness of life, fulfilled life. When I put my trust in Jesus, it moves from short-term lust to long-term loyalty, from shallow love to sacrificial love. And I begin to experience him. He's not a set of facts that I should believe. This is faith that I should trust him, and I know him. And the benefits, well, I come and go safely in this world. I can walk in this world and be at peace in myself. No matter the conflicts in my community, no matter the conflicts in my family, there is a sense of serenity to the soul. For he says, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out, and they will find pasture. He will lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. Why? Because he's not only my security, he's not only my salvation. He is the source of life. He says, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's what I meant about integrity, about people's values. Can you believe them? Do they stack up? They want to be an influencer. They want to be an influence over your life. But do their values stack up? Have you seen it consistently in their life? Because Jesus says there are some people out to steal your joy. They're about to kill your spirit. And they literally are thieves and murderers. But I've come that you may have abundant life. And when you look that word up, it's about life overflowing. It's about a cup that continually overflows. It's the whole image of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. What a lifestyle to live, that I can walk in peace. And I needn't fear even the valley of the shadow of death, because he is with me. Now, author Philip Keller said, as we close, there are four things that he discovered being a shepherd that relate to Jesus about sheep. Sheep need to be free from fear. They need to be free from friction in the other flock. They need to be free from things, diseases and pests. And they need to be free from hunger. So Jesus comes along and says, do not worry. Don't worry about your food, what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your fashion and what you're going to be wearing. Don't worry about your future and how things are going to work out. There is a freedom from fear as I identify with Jesus. Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given you as well. Ah, but he says, what about the freedom from friction with others? Jesus comes along and says, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift. There is something more than the offering in this church, apparently. Let's not go there, but apparently there is. He says, first go and be reconciled to that person and offer your gift. Freedom from friction with others. And the responsibility is mine. I'm going, do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they said? Do you know what they didn't do? Do you know what? But he says, I've given you a gift of a ministry of reconciliation, and you are to go, not in vengeance, not in hatred, but in love. It says, let's come together. Let's sort this thing out. Let's not leave the church or not darken the doors, but let's be reconciled. And when we do that, there begins to be a peace in the soul that no one can rob. The third thing is that sheep have to be free from pests and parasites, because there are things apparently that tick sheep off. You know, that's as bad as Alison's, I'm sorry. We read the same book apparently, but you know, the writer of Hebrews, let's turn to the Bible because it's a safe place. Rid yourself of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You and I know that there are some things, if we do a life audit, that are not always healthy. Martin Lewis talks about doing a financial audit. Look where your money's been spent. Is it being spent in the best place? Look where it's been saved. Are you getting the best value? But look at your habits. Look at where you spend your time. Look at who you listen to, who you allow into your life. That 5 minutes on social media turns up 50 minutes, and you think, oh, what happened? And what voices did I let in? It says, get rid of all the unhealthy things and focus on Jesus. Busyness is not a badge of honor, because it's not a full life Jesus is promising. It's a fulfilled life. It's a life that satisfies the soul. Lastly, sheep need to be free from hunger. Now, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was my reward for my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled for to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. People can be hungry for so many things. But Jesus says, if you want life in all its fullness, it comes when you identify with me. When you put your faith in me. There are others who will kill, destroy, and steal. Look at the dramas on television. Look behind the scenes. Are they joy bringers? Are they peacekeepers? Do they hold integrity? Or is it about selfishness and stealing? And I want to kill your spirit. The worries of the world will do that on their own. But Jesus says, will you let me be the influence in your life? And the calling of Christianity is when he's the influence, I'm his follower. So will I put my faith in him to be his follower, so that he is the key influence, so that I identify with him? We're going to pray. And maybe you've never thought that through, but if God has been speaking into your life, then you can say, yes, Lord, I want that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world, for his words, and for that sense that we are so precious in your sight, that even the very sin that we own up to would be paid for by the good shepherd who would lay down his life for us. Oh, but there are others who would kill, steal, and destroy. And even then, you offer protection and provision. So, Father, you know our lives. You know our joys. You know our habits and you know our struggles. So today, we commit to being a follower of Jesus. Today, we invite him to be the influence in our lives. Today, we identify with him so that he is the Christ. And as Christ is in us, we are Christian. So take away all that would cause us harm, all that would hurt not only ourselves but others, that we would know the joy of your Spirit abiding in and through us.